Hello everyone and welcome to the Esther Page Daily Review podcast by Mikhail Lisakov, episode 12. Today is still 2020, November 10th, and today on my table I have a paper by Zhao with co-authors entitled A New Observation-Based Clompy-Torus Model for Active Galactic Nuclei. Let's start with the abstract. The obscuration observed in active galactic nuclei is mainly caused by dust and gas distributed in a torus-like structure surrounding the supermassive black hole. Recent observations suggest that the obscuring material in the dusty torus is clumpy rather than uniformly distributed. However, most of the AGN models still adopt a smooth torus when characterizing obscuring material surrounding the supermassive black hole. In this work, we perform a broadband X-ray spectral analysis of a large unbiased sample of obscured AGN in the nearby universe, which have high-quality archival new star data, enabling us to accurately characterize the physical and geometrical properties of the obscuring tori. We find that different types of AGN may possess similar tori, which are on average Compton thick and are significantly clumpy. For example, for more than 80% of sources in our sample, their torus average column density are more than three times different from their line-of-sight column densities. Utilizing the obtained information about the torus column density, torus covering factor and torus clumpiness for all sources in our sample, we develop a new clumpy torus model of AGN. Using our new model, we predict the observed column density distribution of AGN in the nearby universe, which we find in good agreement with the constraints from recent population synthesis models. I also have no chance not to read the second sentence from the introduction. The material, gas and dust, surrounding the supermassive black hole not only feeds the central monster, but is the origin of the obscuration of the AGN. The authors divide all AGN into three categories based on their line-of-sight column density. Unobscured AGN have less than 10 to the 22nd power particles per square centimeter of their line-of-sight column density. Obscured AGN have line-of-sight column density more than 10 to the 22nd power, and Compton thick AGN have column densities more than 10 to the 24th power. The authors point out that the fraction of Compton-thick AGN predicted by AGN population synthesis models is much higher than is actually observed so far. So the authors build their own sample of Compton-thin AGN with a line-of-sight column densities between 10 to the 23rd and 10 to the 24th particles per square centimeter with available new star data, which gave them 94 sources, and also later add some Compton-thick AGN from archival data. Then the authors feed the X-ray spectra with three components: a line-of-sight component, a reprocessed component, and a scattered component. As far as I understood, the line-of-sight component is the part of X-ray emission that is left after absorption and scattering. The reprocessed component describes absorption when an X-ray photon is absorbed and a photon in some different range is emitted. And the scattering component describes scattering when X-ray photons still stay X-ray photons. After fitting the spectra, the authors can derive important parameters of the obscuring material: the inclination angle of a torus, the torus column density, the torus covering factor, and the torus column density contrast ratio, which is a ratio of the torus column density to the line of sight column density. It was unexpected to me to see that this contrast ratio in Compton thin AGN is typically larger than 3. It means that an X-ray photon traveling through the torus on average meets 3 times more material compared to the line of sight. By comparing the line of sight column densities to the average torus column densities, the authors conclude that Compton thin AGN on average have line of sight column densities less than average column densities of the torus. and the opposite for competent thick AGN. They have larger line of sight column densities than the average column density of the torus. But the authors conclude that in general, the properties of the tori in Compton thin and Compton thick AGN should be similar. Then the authors come to the culmination of their paper and present their clumpy torus model. Basically, this model predicts that we will see like 1/3 of AGN unobscured. In another 30% of AGN, the X-ray photons from the AGN when going through the torus are likely not to find any dense clumps on their way. And that's why the line of sight column density is less than that average over the torus. And finally, in 37% of AGN, the X-ray photons from the central region are not that lucky and they are mostly absorbed by dense clumps in the torus. In this case, the line of sight column density would be larger than the column density averaged over the whole torus. This distribution of aging is in contrast with previous observations, but more or less in line with the population synthesis models. The explanation for this could be that the Compton thick AGN samples are biased and there are very little detections with column density larger than 10 to the 25th power. So the bottom line of the paper is both Compton thin and Compton thick AGN may possess similar tori whose average column density is Compton thick. If we are lucky to look through the underdense portion of the torus, we see a Compton thin AGN. And when we look through the overdense region, then we see a Compton thick AGN. Basically, that's it. So I like the paper, even though that for me, as a person who doesn't often deal with X-ray data or tori models, it was quite tough to get through the paper and get all the details and nuances. But this paper is definitely worth reading. Thank you for listening and see you tomorrow.